Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A River Lost: The Life and Death of the Columbia is a work of environmental history and investigative nonfiction by Blaine Harden. Centered on the Columbia River Basin in the Pacific Northwest, it traces how a once free-flowing river was transformed by dams, irrigation networks, federal engineering, and nuclear-era development. Harden combines regional history, journalism, and personal reflection to show that the river is not only an ecological system, but also a political and economic one. The book explains how large public works brought electricity, farmland, and industrial growth, while also disrupting salmon runs, reshaping native communities, and deepening distrust of federal power in eastern Washington and Oregon. It is both a study of a river and a study of the modern West, revealing how prosperity and environmental damage often grew from the same infrastructure decisions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how dam construction turned a living river into managed water storage. One of the book's central arguments is that the Columbia was fundamentally remade by hydroelectric dams. Harden describes how a river, once defined by seasonal flow, migration, and ecological variation, became a chain of reservoirs and controlled channels. This shift was not merely geographic, it changed the river's identity and function. Dams made navigation, irrigation, and electrical generation far more predictable, but they also replaced river dynamics with administrative control. That change is important because it shows infrastructure as a form of environmental power. The book does not treat dams as simple symbols of progress or destruction. Instead, it shows that they created a new river regime in which water was stored, timed, and allocated for human priorities. This framework helps readers understand why the Columbia became so central to the modern Pacific Northwest and why its management remains contested. Secondly, federal investment, local prosperity, and the politics of resentment. Harden is especially interested in the contradiction between dependence on federal spending and hostility toward the federal government. The Columbia Basin received enormous public investment through projects such as Grand Coulee Dam and related irrigation systems, which helped turn dry land into productive farmland and supported regional growth. Yet the same areas that benefited economically often developed a strong populist suspicion of Washington, D.C. The book explains this tension as a defining feature of inland Pacific Northwest politics. People experienced federal power not as an abstract policy, but as the force that made local life possible. That dependence did not necessarily produce gratitude. It could just as easily produce resentment, especially when federal authority was associated with regulation, environmental constraints, or outside decision-making. By showing both the gifts and the costs of federal intervention, the book provides a nuanced account of how public works shape political identity. Thirdly, salmon decline as the clearest measure of ecological loss. The decline of salmon is one of the book's most visible environmental themes and functions as a practical indicator of the Columbia's ecological disruption. Harden presents salmon not as an isolated species issue, but as a sign that the river system itself has been altered in ways that affect migration, habitat, and seasonal cycles. Dams block or complicate passage, reservoirs change water temperature and flow, and human management often favors energy and irrigation over natural reproduction. The importance of salmon in the book is both biological and cultural. Their loss affects ecosystems, regional food traditions, and native communities whose histories are tied to the river. Harden uses salmon to show that environmental damage is cumulative, rather than single cause one project may appear manageable. But the combined effect of repeated engineering decisions can reshape a watershed over generations. This makes the book especially relevant to present-day debates about river restoration and dam removal. Fourthly, Hanford and the nuclear legacy beside the river. The book broadens its environmental scope by connecting the Columbia to Hanford, the federal site associated with nuclear materials production and long-term cleanup. Harden includes Hanford because it represents another form of government intervention in the region, one that produced jobs and economic activity while also leaving behind contamination and secrecy. This dimension matters because it shows that the Columbia Basin was not only transformed by water projects, but also by the industrial and military demands of the 20th century. The river became part of a larger landscape of federal experimentation, technical expertise, and environmental risk. Harden's treatment of Hanford reinforces a major theme of the book: prosperity in the region was often built on hidden costs. The economic benefits were real, but so were the health, ethical, and ecological consequences. By placing Hanford alongside the dams, the book argues that the Columbia's history cannot be understood without acknowledging both energy and waste, both development and remediation. Lastly, personal narrative as a way to explain regional history. Harden's journalistic background and family history give the book its distinctive voice. He writes not as an outsider observing the Columbia from a distance, but as someone whose own family life was shaped by federal projects in the basin. That perspective allows him to connect large-scale history to lived experience without reducing the book to memoir. The result is a narrative that is both analytical and intimate, helping readers understand how public policy affects ordinary households across generations. This approach also strengthens the book's credibility. The author is explicit about his initial ignorance, then shows how reporting changed his understanding. Rather than presenting a fixed ideological position, the book develops through inquiry. That method is especially effective for a subject as complex as the Columbia, where engineering, ecology, labor, and politics are deeply intertwined. Hardin's personal lens makes the history readable, but its real purpose is interpretive. It helps explain why the river matters so deeply to the people who live along it. In conclusion, A River Lost is best suited for readers interested in environmental history, the American West, public works, energy policy, native and regional history, and the long consequences of development. It is especially valuable for readers who want to understand why the Columbia River remains such a charged subject in debates over dams, salmon recovery, and federal authority. Unlike many books on rivers that focus mainly on ecology or conservation, Hardin's work integrates infrastructure, politics, labor, family memory, and industrial history into one account. That broader framing is what gives the book its staying power. It explains not only what happened to the river, but why those changes were embraced, resisted, and politically defended. The book also stands out because it treats prosperity and damage as interconnected outcomes rather than opposites. Readers come away with a clearer sense of how modern landscapes are built, who benefits from them, and what is lost in the process. For that reason, it remains a strong choice for anyone seeking a serious, regionally grounded explanation of the Columbia Basin and its continuing significance. If you would like to support Blaine Hardin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.